What happens after you die? Maybe you're asking because of a name you can't say without your throat tightening. Let's open the book together, gently, honestly. The question nobody escapes. You may have landed here because someone you love is gone. Or because, late at night, the question came for you and wouldn't leave. It's the most human question there is. And it's okay to ask it out loud. So let's not theorize at you. Let's open the book, slowly, like you'd open a letter from someone who loves you, and read what's actually there. Death is the one appointment nobody reschedules. Scripture doesn't flinch from it, and it doesn't leave you in the dark. First, a word that got flattened in English. Here's something that changes how you read your Bible forever. Your English Bible often uses one small word, hell. But behind that single word sit three completely different original words, each pointing at something distinct. When you don't know that, the whole subject blurs. When you do, it comes into focus. Hebrew, Sheol. The grave, the realm of the dead. English, hell, hides it. Sheol is simply where the dead go. In the OT, both the righteous and the wicked are said to be there. The Old Testament is actually quiet about the afterlife. It mostly speaks of Sheol, the grave, the silent place, without painting in the details. That quiet matters. It means God hadn't yet said everything he was going to say. Greek, Hades, the realm of the dead. Hell flattens it. Hades is the place of the dead, like in Jesus' account of the rich man and Lazarus, Luke 16. Greek, Gehenna, the place of final judgment. Hell hides that Jesus is naming a real place, the Valley of Hinnom. That last one is stunning. Gehenna is the word Jesus uses for final judgment, and it comes from the Valley of Hinnom, a real, infamous garbage and fire valley outside Jerusalem with a dark past. Jesus points to a place his listeners could literally see to picture a judgment that is just as real. Luke 16 verses 22 to 23. Jesus tells of two men after death, one comforted, one in torment, using Hades, the realm of the dead, not Gehenna. Three words. One English label. See why slowing down matters? The part scripture says clearly and tenderly. Here's the good news, and the Bible is not shy about it. Death is not the end. For those who belong to Christ, the New Testament speaks with startling warmth about what comes next. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 8. Paul would rather be away from the body and at home with the Lord. Death, for the believer, is a homecoming, not a void. Philippians 1 verse 23. Paul says to depart and be with Christ is far better. He expected presence with Jesus, not nothingness. And to a dying criminal beside him, a man with no time left to fix anything, Jesus says one of the most comforting sentences ever spoken. Greek, paradisos. Paradise, a garden of delight. The English, paradise, keeps the wonder. Jesus promises it that very day. Luke 23, verse 43. Today you will be with me in paradise. No probation, no waiting room earned by good behavior. Just with me and today. Then there's the promise that the body itself is not abandoned. Christianity has never been about floating away as a ghost. It's about resurrection. 1 Thessalonians 4 verses 13 to 17. Believers who have died are said to have fallen asleep, and Paul's whole point is that we grieve, but not as those who have no hope. 1 Corinthians 15 verses 42 to 44. The dead are raised, a real, transformed body. Paul stakes the entire faith on it. Daniel 12 verse 2. Even in the OT, a clear glimpse, many who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake. Revelation 21 verses 3 to 4. The end of the story, God with his people, and he will wipe away every tear, no more death, mourning, or pain. So the core is consistent and repeated across many writers over centuries. Death is not the end. Resurrection and judgment are coming, and those who are Christ's are promised to be with him. The shape of the hope is not in doubt. Christians who love the whole Bible still differ on some of the in-between details. Where faithful Christians honestly differ. Now we reach the part where sincere, Bible-loving Christians read the same verses and land in slightly different places. Not the destination, the in-between. The question is about the intermediate state. What happens in the gap between when a person dies and the final resurrection? The conscious presence reading. Verses like 2 Corinthians 5 verse 8, Philippians 1 verse 23, and Luke 23 verse 43, today, describe being consciously with Christ the moment we die. The sleep language is a tender word for death's appearance, not unconsciousness. The soul sleep reading. Verses that call death sleep, 1 Thessalonians 4, Daniel 12, describe the dead resting unaware until the resurrection wakes them. From their perspective, the next conscious moment is being raised to be with Christ. You'll also find Christians who differ on the nature of final judgment. Some read it as eternal conscious punishment, others as a final end, annihilation. Both are reading real verses. Both are wrestling honestly. Here's what every one of these readings shares. Christ at the center, and hope on the far side of death for those who are His. The frame is steady. The pen on the details is yours. So where does that leave you? Lay the verses side by side. 2 Corinthians 5, Philippians 1, Luke 23, 1 Thessalonians 4, 1 Corinthians 15, Revelation 21. The hope is loud and repeated, with Christ raised, every tear wiped away. The exact shape of the in-between is where humble people say, "I'll hold this part with open hands." If you're grieving as you read this, that's not a distraction from the question. It's the most honest way to ask it. You've now seen the words, the three original terms English hides, and the place where faithful believers still differ. The pen is yours. Examine for yourself. Don't take our word for it. Open the book. Read 1 Thessalonians 4, 1 Corinthians 15, and Luke 23 in full. Read them slowly, maybe out loud. Pray over them and bring your grief and your questions to your local church, where people can sit with you. The Bereans checked even the Apostle Paul against the scriptures. Acts 17 verse 11, you're allowed to do the same.